What country do you want to live in? What country? That's the question that all of us should be asking ourselves right now as we watch what's unfolding before our very eyes, courtesy of the primaries in the state of Michigan, courtesy of what momentum we're seeing fomenting on the left, and obviously what appears to be anyway the corruption on the right, particularly with this president and his administration and his son, meaning President Donald Trump's son, Donald Jr., you know, doing business with companies that were ultimately able to generate over $3.2 billion. There's a lot to get into. Make no mistake about it. You're listening live to Straight Shooter with Stephen A. coming at you courtesy of SiriusXM POTUS Radio, as I love to do every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM POTUS Radio. The number to call up as always is 866-967-6887. That's 866-96-POTUS. It's a damn shame what's going on. Because let me tell you something right now. I don't blame any American citizen sitting here today. If you find yourself completely destroyed and demoralized by the state of our affairs in a world of politics, because this is what's governing our lives. This is what has dominion over our lives. This is what influences the taxes that we pay, the property insurance that we pay, homeowners insurance, you know, all of this other stuff, healthcare. The list goes on and on. And when you see what's been transpiring over the last few days, I don't know what side to pick. Bottom line is this. Let's look at the Democrats for a second here. Now, you can sit up here and you can look at it as a good thing that Abdul El-Sayed, or Sayed, who just won the Democratic primary last night by a vote of 48.5% to 47.7%, something like that. It's a close race, make no mistake about it, over Haley Stevens, but ultimately he won, and he's going to be the Democratic nominee for the United States Senate coming out of the state of Michigan, going up against Mike Rogers, who's a Republican in the state of Michigan, with the Democrats needing four seats in order to retake control of the United States Senate. You have to look at that, but you can't look at it and ignore what transpired last week with Dr. Anthony Fauci. One may appear to have nothing to do with the other in your eyes. It has everything to do with something in my eyes. Because when we saw Anthony Fauci go up on Capitol Hill and announce to the world that he would be pleading the fifth, that was incredibly alarming, particularly when you learned that he was going to do it 111 times. Listen to Anthony Fauci right here.
Although it pains me to do so, because of the respect I have for the legislative branch of government and my decades-long record of cooperating with Congress, under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I said, the man pleaded the Fifth 111 times. But they got a hold of his diary. And when you talk about self-adulation being taken to a new level, definitely he was guilty of at least that. We learned that mask, 6 feet distancing. These were not scientific decisions being made. This was made by a man whose ego was just larger than life. Talking about people calling him the sexiest man alive, fawning over celebrities, and them fawning over him, caught up in the celebration and everything else in between. It was embarrassing. And it was embarrassing not only to him, but it was embarrassing to us, who took his word as gospel and ignored all the cynicism and the criticism that was coming his way. We sat back and we bought his stuff hook, line, and sinker. He was the face of science. I cover sports for a living. And over the national airwaves, I had to go on the air. I felt compelled to go on the airwaves and apologize to the likes of NBA star Kyrie Irving, or an NFL star like Aaron Rodgers, because of the scrutiny they received, the assist that I provided in aiming that scrutiny or assisting in that scrutiny coming in their direction. Because the face of science was telling us, this is not wise. This is not what's supposed to be happening. And the level of dominion and control that he was having over the lives of American citizens. I'm just going to say it over the airwaves of SiriusXM. It was almost like it gave him a damn hard-on. That's right, I said it. That's how bad it was. When you read his diaries or what the Senate revealed, led by Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, who was on the air with me just a few days ago, explaining in detail some of those things that transpired. This is shameful. It's shameful. And if you think people are going to forget that Dr. Anthony Fauci did what he did on Capitol Hill last week during the hearing, particularly when tomorrow that same committee is expected to announce they are indicting Anthony Fauci for essentially misleading the public, because they got a lot of questions about some of the decisions he's made. I'm not saying you need to go that far. I'm not saying they're completely right about that. I don't believe this man at 85 years of age, who's done tremendous work spanning decades, should be thrown in jail. But do I think that he should be embarrassed for the self-adulation that he engaged in? You damn right I do. Because some of the things that he was telling us to do was inconsistent with science, but he was telling us it was science that led to him making the decisions that he made. Masking, 6 feet distancing, the closing of businesses, forcing businesses to push those mandates upon people like me and others. Because I took the vaccine and I took a booster and I wore a mask. And we were told, hey, you ain't going to get COVID if you do that. And I got COVID. And damn it, it almost killed me. Going into 2022, I'm in the hospital 90 minutes before the ball is about to drop. And the doctor says, we've been at this for 3+ weeks. You got double pneumonia. You look really bad. If this antibiotic and this steroid does not work, Mr. Smith, I'm sorry, we're going to have to call your family. It looks that bad, but we should know in 3 hours. And through the grace of God, 3 hours later, I felt better after they gave me that steroid and that antibiotic. But those were the longest 3 hours of my life because I thought it was over. And I remember I had done exactly what Dr. Anthony Fauci was imploring us all to do. And now we fast forward years later, and here it is, the Democratic Socialists of America, seemingly having no connection to an Anthony Fauci. But you know what? You kind of do. Because just like he seemed fixated on taking control and implementing his vision, his belief, his agendas, that's what we're looking at right now. And it's not like the other side ain't guilty of it. Trust me, I'll get to Trump and they're trifling asses in a second. Right now, I'm focused on the Democrats. I'm looking at this right now. And I'm looking at Abdul El-Sayed in Michigan. And I'm thinking about the Democratic Socialist of America. I'm thinking about the traction that they're gaining. Colorado, having already won primaries in Colorado, Kentucky, Georgia, New York. They're on a ballot in Michigan, Missouri. They're gaining traction. And they're gaining traction with an agenda that should alarm a lot of us. Because it speaks to a level of control we supposedly didn't want anybody to have. But nevertheless, that's what they're preaching about. And they're gaining traction. And the Democrats, meaning moderates, seem ill-equipped to fend them off. Which means that you're going to have a house divided along the Democrats. And if you have that house divided, how are you going to beat the Republicans? How are you going to pull that off? And what's the connection between them and Fauci? It's that Fauci is associated with the Democrats. The DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, is associated with the Democrats. So you got people who are moderates. With Haley Stevens, 47.5% voted for her in Michigan. He won by less than 1%. 0.8% is what he won by, according to the polls. Credit El-Sayed, because guess what? She had over $64 million in donors. Over $32 million came from a pro-Israel group. And he still fended it off and won. Which is a different subject for another day, about the dissipation of power and influence it appears the Jewish community is having in our politics right now. But that's a story for another day. Right now, what it's about is the connection from Fauci to the Democratic Socialists of America to the Democrats not having as good of a time as people think they are. Because they may think you're, if you're Bernie Sanders, you're feeling good. If you're Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, you're feeling good because either you're going to win the Senate in New York in 2028, unless you decide to run for president, and you might be a prime presidential candidate for 2028. The two biggest faces in the Democratic Party right now, outside of those two I mentioned, may very well be a known socialist, is Zohran Mamdani, the mayor of New York City, or the new winner of the Democratic primary in Michigan, Abdul El-Sayed, who swears he's not really a Democratic socialist, even though he's for Medicaid for all. He's for eradicating ICE, along with a bevy of other things that sound eerily similar to the Democratic Socialists of America. And why is that bad news? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if it's a house divided, how are you going to compete with the Republicans? Listen to what President Donald Trump wrote on his Truth Social account today. Great news for the Republican Party. El-Sayed, a communist loser who hates Jews in Israel, is the projected winner in his race with the socialist. As usual, the polls were way off on this one. She was not expected, meaning Haley Stevens, was not expected to do nearly as well as she did. Now the Democrats, not Democrats, he called them Democrats, crazy policies will only get worse. That's a nice position for him to take. Sounds like Donald Trump. Make no mistake about it. But there's something missing. Before I tell you what's missing, let's listen to the president. Let's hear him.
But in Congress, we're working every day to defend the American dream for you and your children, the radical left, the maniacs that are trying to destroy it with the disaster known as not socialism, communism. It's communism. These are communists. And the polls were wrong again last night when they thought it would be a landslide victory for a hater of Jews and a hater of Israel. This guy hates Jews. Somebody said, oh, that's a little strong. No, he hates Jews and he hates Israel. Abdul El-Sayed. Can you believe this? This could only happen to me. Abdul El-Sayed, lovely gentleman. He's a man of hate. And now he's going around saying, no, I love everybody. He doesn't love everybody. Put him in office. You're going to find out what he loves.
That was President Donald Trump in Las Vegas about an hour ago. Noted Democratic strategist for a very, very long time, James Carville, doesn't quite sound like Trump in going off, but he's certainly not siding with the Democratic Socialists of America, particularly Abdul El-Sayed, who was endorsed by somebody that Carville obviously despises, Hassan Piker. An influencer who's very outspoken against Israel and beyond. Listen to James Carville, fun Sunday morning on Fox. Listen to this.
To talk about the larger Democratic Party post the election in Michigan going forward, I am not going to be in the same party with Hassan Piker. I can tell you that right now. If he becomes a force in the Democratic Party, I'm out of here. I have no intention of ever being in the same political party with that guy.
Respectfully to James Carville, Hassan Piker, nor Abdul El-Sayed gives two shits about whether James Carville is a part of the Democratic Party or not. And I don't say that disrespectfully to James Carville, who I like very, very much. I'm saying they have been dismissive and disrespectful towards him. They don't give a damn. They mocked him once he did say that because they consider him a part of the old establishment. And that's what we have to remember in all of this. when they think about James Carville, they're thinking about 1996. They're thinking about Clinton. They're thinking about how Clinton and Carville basically acted. They embraced, free trade with NAFTA, welfare reform, deregulation. They were about closer ties to corporate donors. As Democrats, they adopted core free market, pro-business policies traditionally associated with the right. That's what Pikeman and El Said believe in the Democratic Socialists of America. So they don't care what Carville thinks. And they don't care what moderate Democrats think. The problem is that ain't going to win. And if that's not going to win because you can't come together, then you're handing reins to the GOP in the midterms. And if not that, definitely to the presidency in 2028, whether that's J.D. Vance, the vice president, whether that's Marco Rubio, the secretary of state, whether it's Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. We don't know. But what we know is that it ain't going to work because in the general, how is it? And by virtue of focusing on the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA, along with Anthony Fauci and his inconsistencies, if nothing else, swearing about things being related to science when they had no such relation to science, and he admitted that in his diaries. Now you got Trump having something else to point to other than his insidious tendencies. Ukraine and Russia still going on. Still partnered with Israel. Got a war going on 6+ months in Iran. Got his secretary for the Department of War asking for $104 billion that we didn't supposed to have. $39 trillion in debt. Used as an excuse not to take care of American citizens who was TSA workers. Inflation still existing. Cost of living, affordability, still a problem. And this stuff is going on. And we don't get to focus on that because of what's going on with the Democratic establishment. This man getting away with stuff hand over foot. And oh, by the way, news just came down just a few hours ago that his son, Donald Trump Jr., was doing business with people where over $3.2 billion was generated for their businesses, where Elizabeth Warren and others on Capitol Hill are calling for an investigation because of the grifting and the corruption that exists in this White House. And that's going to be a side story. Because the Democrats are inside fighting with one another. Can't come together to save their damn lives. This is sickening. It really, really is. I'm an American citizen just talking about issues that affect us. I live well. I've been blessed and fortunate with my day job on ESPN and another job on Sirius XM, having two of the greatest jobs one could ever imagine in this industry. I get paid well. I'm living a comfortable and affluent life, covering sports, watching games, watching the most marvelous athletes on this planet. That's what I do during the day. And I still struggle to smile because of the sickening stuff going on Capitol Hill.